My oldest grandson loves his kindergartner teacher. And I asked my daughter, why does he love her so much? Well, she's young, she's pretty, and she's nice. And he just loves her. And I'm so glad that his first experience in school was so good, because my first experience with my first teacher was the complete opposite. My first grade teacher was named Mrs. Meany. And boy, was she mean. I mean, she was mean. We're all terrified of her. And my only recollection of first grade was when she punished the entire class, made us stay inside for recess, lay our heads on the table. During the whole class, we had to stay inside. And, you know, for a first grader, that's kind of harsh. And I think that's why I struggled for the next 16 years in school. But I do appreciate all the teachers I had in grade school, high school, and in college. But I really appreciate all the teachers I had in my life that taught me God's Word. I was thinking about who taught me God's Word, and I believe I've had over 100 teachers, different teachers, pastors, Sunday school teachers, discipleship teachers. I had college groups that people taught me, discipleship groups, Bible studies, small groups, individuals who sat with me and talked me about God's Word. So I've had hundreds of teachers, and I appreciate every one of them. I appreciate all of you who have taught here at Northwest. You taught my kids and many of our children that grew up here. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ was a teacher. Can we go to our PowerPoint? Is our PowerPoint up? Let's look at Matthew 5:1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them. Jesus was a teacher. Believers need to be like Jesus. We must be willing to open our mouths and teach the Word of God. When Jesus saw a crowd, he sees the opportunity to teach. And we must be ready to teach anyone, anywhere, at any time, the Word of God, so that they know the truth of what God has done for us, what God wants us to do, how God wants us to respond to Him. And so if you want to take out your sermon outline, as we go through the sermon outline, the first one says, the goal of the teacher is to promote learning. Every teacher wants you to learn. The goal of every Bible teacher is to promote biblical learning. 2 Timothy 2:24. The Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. This world has been taken captive by the devil, deceived and lied to. The goal of the teacher is to teach the truth. Now you see that word I underlined, able to teach. In Greek, that simply means able to explain God's Word. A teacher is able to explain God's Word. The emphasis is not so much on biblical knowledge, though that is important, but the emphasis is on the ability to communicate effectively. I know many children who, and I've had teachers that inspired me and blessed me. They were great teachers, not because of their knowledge, but because they cared about me, because they loved me, they took an interest in me, or they encouraged me. And we, as teachers, need to promote learning like Jesus did. The second truth we see about teaching is that Jesus transformed lives with his teaching. Jesus transformed the lives of people with the teaching of God's Word. Teaching was Jesus' number one method to communicate God's message to the people. Matthew 7:28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, after he was done teaching, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. See, when the rabbis of Jesus' time taught, when these Jewish educated people who had all the Bible knowledge, when they taught by repeating what someone else said. And so when they taught, they would say, well, this is what Rabbi Bob says about commandment number two. Or they'd say, this is what Rabbi Peter says about commandment number three. They just regurgitated what someone else had taught them. But when Jesus taught, the people were amazed. His words had authority because they were original. They were insightful. Jesus taught them God's word in a way that was clear and understandable, in a way that applied to their lives. See, Jesus taught the truths of the Old Testament. But instead of just teaching the Ten Commandments saying, thou shalt not do this or thou shalt not do that, Jesus taught them in a way to see the Ten Commandments as ten values that build strong families. This is how God's Word will bless you. God's Word's not just a burden, it is a blessing that will enrich your lives for all eternity if you believe what I have taught you. Jesus used teaching to transform lives. This church, you as individuals must use teaching of the Bible to transform a life. If we go to number three in our outline, it says that Jesus commands us to go and teach His Word. God calls us to teach the Word of God. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is the point when Jesus was about to ascend to heaven. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God calls us to go and teach His Word. We make disciples by teaching them what Jesus taught us so that they can embrace it, understand it, and obey it. So the question is, how do we teach today? Look at this slide. Here's three different ways we teach here at Northwest. You know, preachers are called by God to proclaim the Word of God, usually in a setting like this before a big crowd. It's a calling. We must be called to serve in this manner. I think teachers are challenged by God to teach a group. Maybe it's a Sunday morning Bible study or an on-campus group at ASU or GCU. And it's a part of our spiritual growth to be able to teach a group of people. It's what helps us grow, and God challenges us and He calls us to teach in this way. But this last one says that everyone is capable of teaching in one-on-one situations. Every believer is able to teach another person the truth about God. Maybe you're just going to share John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then you explain what that means. Every believer. Maybe you're not called to preach. Maybe you don't feel that your gifting is toward teaching a Bible study or a small group. But everybody is able to teach in one-on-one situations. We see it in Acts 18:24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. Apollos grew up in Alexandria. You ever hear the term? Anybody see National Treasure? National Treasure, that movie with Nicolas Cage and all that. And they find that great cavern with all the artifacts and stuff. And she looks at the scrolls and she goes, oh, the scrolls of Alexandria. That's where he's from. They had a massive library of knowledge. And Apollos was from that town, so he was educated. He probably had a PhD. He was a learned man. He had knowledge of the Old Testament. He was full of biblical knowledge. Verse 25, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. Apollos could preach, he could debate, he could lecture. He was a giant, a mental giant. He was powerful lecturer, but he only knew the baptism of John the Baptist. He didn't hear the rest of the story of Jesus Christ. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. And so he comes to Ephesus, and he's preaching in the synagogue because he's famous. People know who he is, and he's powerful. But Priscilla and Aquila, this quiet couple, heard him and said, oh, he doesn't know who Jesus is. He didn't hear the rest of the story. So they invite him one-on-one to come to their home to explain it to him. Now, if you know the story of Priscilla and Aquila, they were tent makers. They worked with their hands. That means they were leather workers. They weren't educated. And Apollos, on the other hand, was well educated from a higher class of people. But Priscilla and Aquila took him aside, and they taught him the Word of God and explained about Jesus Christ. They taught him privately. They didn't do it publicly. They didn't call him out and say he was lacking in something. They said, come to our home. We want to talk to you. And we know the rest of the story. Apollos, when he heard the truth of Jesus Christ, realized it was true, became a believer, and he went out and preached the gospel. Every believer, every one of you must be able to do this, to call someone aside, spend some time with them, share a meal, and tell them about Jesus. Teach them about Jesus. You know, I know a lot of people don't like the word witnessing. It's intimidating. We won't want to witness. Well, think of the word teaching. God wants you simply to teach the truth of God's Word. Your goal is just to help someone understand who God is. And here are some simple truths about teaching. Do you want to be a teacher? The first one is this. Teachers must be teachable. If you want to be a good teacher, you must be teachable. Go to the next slide, please. Apollos became a great preacher because he allowed Priscilla and Aquila to teach him. Proverbs 9:9. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. A wise man becomes wiser because he continues to learn. A righteous man grows in God because he continues to learn. If you want to be a teacher, you must be teachable. Apollos was teachable. You know, I never want to learn from a person who thinks he is a know-it-all. He's never done anything with his life, but he thinks he knows everything. I don't want to learn from a person like that. I love my seminary professors and seminary because they were preachers. They were pastors. They were doing the same thing I'm learning to do. And I enjoy learning from someone who has learned something about life and has walked with God. See, when I prepare a sermon, I first focus on what God is teaching me. In fact, when I worked on this sermon, it reminded me how important, how powerful it is to teach God's Word. And when I study God's Word and it sinks down deep in my soul, it provokes a response. I want to respond, and using my response is I want to run out here and teach you the Word of God so it will sink in your soul and provoke a response. Teachers must be teachable. If you want to be a teacher and God's calling to you too, make sure you have that attitude that I am teachable. The second way we become a great teacher is teachers must teach the Word of God. It is God's Word that convicts and comforts and challenges our heart. It is God's Word that penetrates deep in our soul and provokes our spirit to respond to it, to move us in the direction God wants us to go. But the longer you say no to God's Word, the harder your head and your heart become. I encourage you, if you're here today, open your heart to the truth of God's Word. When you say yes to the Word of God, when you say yes to God's promises, the Spirit comes inside you and He enlightens you to understand it even more. He uses it to empower your life. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is your user manual. This is your operation manual for life. Why is the world in chaos and in pain and conflict? Because they lost the user's manual. They haven't opened it. They haven't tried to read it. God's Word teaches us how to correct what we are doing wrong. The answer to the pain and problems of this world is God's Word, because we live in a godless society. So God calls people, you and me, believers, to teach people how God wants them to live. See, we need to learn God's Word. We need to love and appreciate it. We need to live it out, because it's the only thing that will transform our lives and the people we minister to. So teachers must teach the Word of God. Teachers must be teachable. Then we see our third thought, which is teachers must model their teaching. You don't just tell people, you show them what it means. Titus 2:7, In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity. That means you practice what you preach. You show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. You know, we need to show integrity because we practice what we preach. Teaching is not just telling. And I love it when believers want to tell people stuff, and I appreciate that, but we must teach people. We must show and demonstrate how God's Word transformed our lives. Teachers need to be a living example of the difference God's Word makes in a person's life. I appreciate all the teachers I had in my life. I remember how they taught me God's Word. They prepared. I mean, I had some teachers who picked me up from my mom's house and took me to church and then taught me in a classroom. And they cared. They loved me, and it sunk deep in my heart. It called me to be a teacher. You know, a lot of teachers, a lot of Bible teachers have impressive biblical knowledge, but they don't model what they have learned. I discovered that some Christians just like to have a big head of knowledge, but their hearts are small. And when you have a big head of knowledge and your heart is small, you're just a hypocrite. You know, God doesn't want teachers like that. God doesn't care what you have learned if all you want to do is make people listen. You don't want to transform lives. You just want people to listen to you. God wants people with a big head and a big heart, that God's Word flows from the head through their heart and into their hands to minister to people. See, we must teach the next generation. We must teach God's Word to the next generation, because if we fail this generation, the next generation has nothing to follow. Parents, you are your children's first teacher. You're the ones who will teach them what God's Word means. It becomes a testimony of the truth to the next generation. You must model God's Word to your children. And all of us who are adults today must model God's Word to all the other brothers and sisters in this church. My 2.5-year-old grandson, Hayden, he likes to say grace now at 2.5. And I listened to him pray one time. I'm like, okay, this ought to be interesting, you know, my 2.5-year-old grandson. And his prayer was this. Jesus, thank you for this yummy food. Amen. And I thought, wow, that's actually pretty good. that's pretty good. Jesus, thank you for this yummy food. Amen. Well, he learned it from his parents. He learned to appreciate where things come from his parents. You know, I have been teaching, I probably have been teaching God's Word almost every week since I was 16. I've been teaching. And now I'm 39. So let me see. Oh, no, maybe I'm 62. I'm so old I can't remember. But I've been teaching for over 40 years the Word of God, and I still love teaching. I love seeing it transform people's lives. I love seeing people get it. And then what's even better is when they rise up and become teachers themselves, and they teach other people. That's where joy comes from. That's where the blessing comes from. That's where that's what's rewarding in the Christian life. Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. I'm not saying it to you. God's saying it to you. You are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. God's saying, many of you should be teachers by now, but you're just little babies because you have not made any effort to know and grow in God's Word. And when we don't grow, we don't mature. We're not able to distinguish good from evil. We're not able to have a simple debate in an office or at school about what you believe in versus what the culture says, a politically correct culture says is right today. We teach, and when we teach, we grow. So we should strive to be a teacher in one form or another. So I ask you today, have you taught God's Word to someone in some way? In a one-on-one situation, are you a teacher? I'm sure most of you have taught someone how to ride a bike, or how to drive a car or how to cook a dish or teach them something at work that they need to know. If you talk something to someone, you're able to teach God's Word in some way or some form. So here at Northwest, we want to help you be a teacher. We will work with you. We'll help train you. We'll put you in maybe a children's class where you can be a helper or observer. But we want to help you if your desire is to teach the Word of God and you are a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to help you because we know when you learn to teach and you teach a class, it helps you grow. So if you have that calling, if you have that desire, you are challenged to do so. Come see me or Pastor Steve or our children's director or Heja, and we will work with you. We won't leave you floundering. We will help you. But you have to be willing to teach. As a slideshow that Pastor Steve showed, it showed the different areas of service that we recognize and we appreciate all of you have served. All are opportunities to serve God. And if you're not serving, we encourage you to serve. See, when we serve, when we teach, we transform lives. I have taught God's Word in worship and our worship services, and I have seen people believe in Jesus. They believed. I have taught children's groups and royal ambassador groups, groups of boys, God's Word, and I've seen some of them believe in Jesus. I've taught people in one-on-one situations at camps and prayer times at camp and seen them believe in Jesus. I have given rides to people to come to church so that they could be taught by somebody else the Word of God, and I've seen them believe in Jesus. See, when we are intentional, when our focus is to present the Word of God to people, some will believe, and that's the goal. That's the goal, to help them understand and believe. Our goal at Northwest is not to serve and be busy. It's not to be busy work. It's not to keep busy. It's intentional work to help people understand that Christ died for their sins and rose from the dead. And that if they trust and give their life to Jesus, they will be forgiven of their sins and given eternal life. They'll know how to have a life that glorifies God and that they can enjoy. That's what we teach. So I encourage you, brothers or sisters, do you need to finally take a stand? To stand up and speak up for Jesus as a teacher or maybe a servant. You know, we become the most like Jesus Christ when we serve and when we teach and when we give. That's when we become the most like Christ. And if you're here today and you have not made a decision about Christ, you're not sure, I encourage you to take a step of faith and give your heart to Christ, believe in Him, choose to follow Him all the way to heaven. As you go into a decision time, maybe you need to make that decision. Maybe you're willing to make a commitment, a step of faith to trust in Christ. Maybe you're here today, believer. You're ready to take a step of faith and to teach or and serve in one of the positions we talked about. I'll be standing here during the invitation time. Pastor Steve and I will be here during the potluck that follows the service. And hey, we want to talk with you. We want to encourage you or help you in any way. But you have to make the decision. You have to take the first step of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You taught us Your Word. You sent prophets and apostles and teachers to teach generations ago the Word of God, and they taught their children, and now we are teaching our children. Father, we thank You that You gave us this privilege. You didn't just give it to the angels. You gave it to us human beings to teach Your Word. And I pray that this church will continually teach the Word of God that transforms lives, and that we will be teachable, that we will transform lives, that we will love people and model all we teach. Father, I pray for my brother or sister today. Do they need to stand up and speak up for You? Father, there's someone here today who needs to make a decision, just simply say, yes, Lord Jesus, I will follow You. I know I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner, but You died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, I commit my life to follow You all the way to heaven. I want to be baptized. I want to become like You today. Father, we just lift our hearts up to You in worship. Thank You for calling us. We want to always say yes to You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. And if I can pray with you or encourage you anyways, please come forward. Matthew 7:28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, after He was done teaching, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. See, when the rabbis of Jesus' time taught, when these Jewish educated people who had all the Bible knowledge, when they taught by repeating what someone else said. And so when they taught, they would say, well, this is what Rabbi Bob says about commandment number two. Or they'd say, this is what Rabbi Peter says about commandment number three. They just regurgitated what someone else had taught them. But when Jesus taught, the people were amazed. His words had authority because they were original. They were insightful. Jesus taught them God's word in a way that was clear and understandable, in a way that applied to their lives. See, Jesus taught the truths of the Old Testament. But instead of just teaching the Ten Commandments saying, thou shalt not do this or thou shalt not do that, Jesus taught them in a way to see the Ten Commandments as ten values that build strong families. This is how God's Word will bless you. God's Word's not just a burden, it is a blessing that will enrich your lives for all eternity if you believe what I have taught you. Jesus used teaching to transform lives. This church, you as individuals must use teaching of the Bible to transform a life. If we go to number three in our outline, it says that Jesus commands us to go and teach His Word. God calls us to teach the Word of God. Matthew 8:28-18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is the point when Jesus was about to ascend to heaven. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have taught you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God calls us to go and teach His Word. We make disciples by teaching them what Jesus taught us so that they can embrace it, understand it, and obey it. So the question is, how do we teach today? Look at this slide. Here's three different ways we teach here at Northwest. You know, preachers are called by God to proclaim the Word of God, usually in a setting like this before a big crowd. It's a calling. We must be called to serve in this manner. I think teachers are challenged by God to teach a group. Maybe it's a Sunday morning Bible study or an on-campus group at ASU or GCU. And it's a part of our spiritual growth to be able to teach a group of people. It's what helps us grow, and God challenges us and He calls us to teach in this way. But this last one says that everyone is capable of teaching in one-on-one situations. Every believer is able to teach another person the truth about God. Maybe you're just going to share John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And then you explain what that means. Every believer. Maybe you're not called to preach. Maybe you don't feel that your gifting is toward teaching a Bible study or a small group. But everybody is able to teach in one-on-one situations. We see it in Acts 18:24. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. Apollos grew up in Alexandria. You ever hear the term? Anybody see National Treasure? National Treasure, that movie with Nicolas Cage and all that. And they find the great cavern with all the artifacts and stuff. And she looks at the scrolls and she goes, oh, the scrolls of Alexandria. That's where he's from. They had a massive library of knowledge. And Apollos was from that town, so he was educated. He probably had a PhD. He was a learned man. He had knowledge of the Old Testament. He was full of biblical knowledge. Verse 25, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately, though he only knew the baptism of John. Apollos could preach, he could debate, he could lecture. He was a giant, a mental giant. He was a powerful lecturer, but he only knew the baptism of John the Baptist. He didn't hear the rest of the story of Jesus Christ. Verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. And so he comes to Ephesus, and he's preaching in the synagogue because he's famous. People know who he is, and he's powerful. But Priscilla and Aquila, this quiet couple, heard him and said, oh, he doesn't know who Jesus is. He didn't hear the rest of the story. So they invite him one-on-one to come to their home to explain it to him. Now, if you know the story of Priscilla and Aquila, they were tent makers. They worked with their hands. That means they were leather workers. They weren't educated. And Apollos, on the other hand, was well educated from a higher class of people. But Priscilla and Aquila took him aside, and they taught him the Word of God and explained about Jesus Christ. They taught him privately. They didn't do it publicly. They didn't call him out and say he was lacking in something. They said, come to our home. We want to talk to you. And we know the rest of the story. Apollos, when he heard the truth of Jesus Christ, realized it was true, became a believer, and he went out and preached the gospel. Every believer, every one of you must be able to do this, to call someone aside, spend some time with them, share a meal, and tell them about Jesus. Teach them about Jesus. You know, I know a lot of people don't like the word witnessing. It's intimidating. We won't want to witness. Well, think of the word teaching. God wants you simply to teach the truth of God's Word. Your goal is just to help someone understand who God is. And here are some simple truths about teaching. Do you want to be a teacher? The first one is this. Teachers must be teachable. If you want to be a good teacher, you must be teachable. Go to the next slide, please. Apollos became a great preacher because he allowed Priscilla and Aquila to teach him. Proverbs 9:9. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. A wise man becomes wiser because he continues to learn. A righteous man grows in God because he continues to learn. If you want to be a teacher, you must be teachable. Apollos was teachable. You know, I never want to learn from a person who thinks he is a know-it-all. He's never done anything with his life, but he thinks he knows everything. I don't want to learn from a person like that. I love my seminary professors and seminary because they were preachers. They were pastors. They were doing the same thing I'm learning to do. And I enjoy learning from someone who has learned something about life and has walked with God. See, when I prepare a sermon, I first focus on what God is teaching me. In fact, when I worked on this sermon, it reminded me how important, how powerful it is to teach God's Word. And when I study God's Word and it sinks down deep in my soul, it provokes a response. I want to respond, and using my response is I want to run out here and teach you the Word of God so it will sink in your soul and provoke a response. Teachers must be teachable. If you want to be a teacher and God's calling to you too, make sure you have that attitude that I am teachable. The second way we become a great teacher is teachers must teach the Word of God. It is God's Word that convicts and comforts and challenges our heart. It is God's Word that penetrates deep in our soul and provokes our spirit to respond to it, to move us in the direction God wants us to go. But the longer you say no to God's Word, the harder your head and your heart become. I encourage you, if you're here today, open your heart to the truth of God's Word. When you say yes to the Word of God, when you say yes to God's promises, the Spirit comes inside you and He enlightens you to understand it even more. He uses it to empower your life. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is your user manual. This is your operation manual for life. Why is the world in chaos and in pain and conflict? Because they lost the user's manual. They haven't opened it. They haven't tried to read it. God's Word teaches us how to correct what we are doing wrong. The answer to the pain and problems of this world is God's Word, because we live in a godless society. So God calls people, you and me, believers, to teach people how God wants them to live. See, we need to learn God's word. We need to love and appreciate it. We need to live it out because it's the only thing that will transform our lives and the people we minister to. So teachers must teach the word of God. Teachers must be teachable. Then we see our third thought, which is teachers must model their teaching. You don't just tell people, you show them what it means. Titus 2:7, in everything set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity. That means you practice what you preach. You show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. You know, we need to show integrity because we practice what we preach. Teaching is not just telling. And I love it when believers want to tell people stuff, and I appreciate that, but we must teach people. We must show and demonstrate how God's Word transformed our lives. Teachers need to be a living example of the difference God's Word makes in a person's life. I appreciate all the teachers I had in my life. I remember how they taught me God's Word. They prepared. I mean, I had some teachers who picked me up from my mom's house and took me to church and then taught me in a classroom. And they cared. They loved me, and it sunk deep in my heart. It called me to be a teacher. You know, a lot of teachers, a lot of Bible teachers have impressive biblical knowledge, but they don't model what they have learned. I discovered that some Christians just like to have a big head of knowledge, but their hearts are small. And when you have a big head of knowledge and your heart is small, you're just a hypocrite. You know, God doesn't want teachers like that. God doesn't care what you have learned if all you want to do is make people listen. You don't want to transform lives. You just want people to listen to you. God wants people with a big head and a big heart, that God's word flows from the head through their heart and into their hands to minister to people. See, we must teach the next generation. We must teach God's word to the next generation, because if we fail this generation, the next generation has nothing to follow. Parents, you are your children's first teacher. You're the ones who will teach them what God's word means. It becomes a testimony of the truth to the next generation. You must model God's word to your children. And all of us who are adults today must model God's word to all the other brothers and sisters in this church. My 2.5-year-old grandson, Hayden, he likes to say grace now at 2.5. And I listened to him pray one time. I'm like, okay, this ought to be interesting, you know, my 2.5-year-old grandson. And his prayer was this. Jesus, thank you for this yummy food. Amen. And I thought, wow, that's actually pretty good. that's pretty good. Jesus, thank you for this yummy food. Amen. Well, he learned it from his parents. He learned to appreciate where things come from his parents. You know, I have been teaching, I probably have been teaching God's word almost every week since I was 16. I've been teaching. And now I'm 39. So let me see. Oh, no, maybe I'm 62. I'm so old I can't remember. But I've been teaching for over 40 years, the Word of God, and I still love teaching. I love seeing it transform people's lives. I love seeing people get it. And then what's even better is when they rise up and become teachers themselves, and they teach other people. That's where joy comes from. That's where the blessing comes from. That's what's rewarding in the Christian life. Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. I'm not saying it to you. God's saying it to you. You are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. God's saying, many of you should be teachers by now, but you're just little babies because you have not made any effort to know and grow in God's Word. And when we don't grow, we don't mature. We don't We're not able to distinguish good from evil. We're not able to have a simple debate in an office or at school about what you believe in versus what the culture says, a politically correct culture says is right today. We teach, and when we teach, we grow. So we should strive to be a teacher in one form or another. So I ask you today, have you taught God's Word to someone in some way, in a one-on-one situation? Are you a teacher? I'm sure most of you have taught someone how to ride a bike, or how to drive a car, or how to cook a dish, or teach them something at work that they need to know. If you've taught something to someone, you're able to teach God's Word in some way or some form. So here at Northwest, we want to help you be a teacher. We will work with you. We'll help train you. We'll put you in maybe a children's class where you can be a helper or observer. But we want to help you if your desire is to teach the Word of God and you are a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to help you because we know when you learn to teach and you teach a class, it helps you grow. So if you have that calling, if you have that desire, you are challenged to do so, come see me or Pastor Steve or our children's director or Heja, and we will work with you. We won't leave you floundering. We will help you. But you have to be willing to teach. As a slideshow that Pastor Steve showed, it showed the different areas of service that we recognize and we appreciate all of you have served. All our opportunities to serve God. And if you're not serving, we encourage you to serve. See, when we serve, when we teach, we transform lives. I have taught God's Word in worship and our worship services, and I have seen people believe in Jesus. They believed. I have taught children's groups and royal ambassador groups, groups of boys, God's Word, and I've seen some of them believe in Jesus. I've taught people in one-on-one situations at camps and prayer times at camp and seen them believe in Jesus. I have given rides to people to come to church so that they could be taught by somebody else the Word of God, and I've seen them believe in Jesus. See, when we are intentional, when our focus is to present the Word of God to people, some will believe, and that's the goal. That's the goal, to help them understand and believe. Our goal at Northwest is not to serve and be busy. It's not to be busy work. It's not to keep busy. It's intentional work to help people understand that Christ died for their sins and rose from the dead. And that if they trust and give their life to Jesus, they will be forgiven of their sins and given eternal life. They'll know how to have a life that glorifies God and that they can enjoy. That's what we teach. So I encourage you, brothers or sisters, do you need to finally take a stand? To stand up and speak up for Jesus as a teacher or maybe a servant. You know, we become the most like Jesus Christ when we serve and when we teach and when we give. That's when we become the most like Christ. And if you're here today and you have not made a decision about Christ, you're not sure, I encourage you to take a step of faith and give your heart to Christ. Believe in Him. Choose to follow Him all the way to heaven. As we go into our decision time, maybe you need to make that decision. Maybe you're willing to make a commitment, a step of faith to trust in Christ. Maybe you're here today, believer. You're ready to take a step of faith and to teach or serve in one of the positions we talked about. I'll be standing here during the invitation time. Pastor Steve and I will be here during the potluck that follows the service. And hey, we want to talk with you. We want to encourage you or help you in any way. But you have to make the decision. You have to take the first step of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you taught us your word. You sent prophets and apostles and teachers to teach generations ago the word of God, and they taught their children, and now we are teaching our children. Father, we thank you that you gave us this privilege. You didn't just give it to the angels. You gave it to us human beings to teach your word. And I pray that this church will continually teach the word of God that transforms lives, and that we will be teachable, that we will transform lives, that we will love people and model all we teach. Father, I pray for my brother or sister today. Do they need to stand up and speak up for you? Father, there's someone here today who needs to make a decision, just simply say, yes, Lord Jesus, I will follow you. I know I'm not perfect. I'm a sinner, but you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. Lord Jesus, I commit my life to follow you all the way to heaven. I want to be baptized. I want to become like you today. Father, we just lift our hearts up to you in worship. Thank you for calling us. We want to always say yes to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing. And if I can pray with you or encourage you anyways, please come forward.